Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Back again.
Is it Backstreet's back?
Again. Yeah.
Guess
I think
who's
so.
No, it's not. It's Eminem. Oh my gosh. Guys, I am high. I'm high on air, oxygen, and whatever dust mites are in my air, but it's not drugs. I promise.
And I'm like, yeah, I think that's it. No.
Oh, Lord. Lore, lore, guys. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna be more professional on this episode. I
believe you.
I'm going to. I will. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? I saw you touching your tooth. Please don't tell me. Please.
Yeah, the tooth. It's the sensitivity is still there with like cold and like chewing hard things, so I just have to live with it, I guess. So the specialist at the dental office looked at it and he's like, well, there's nothing wrong with your tooth. He said, I think it's just shifted and your nerve is being like irritated.
Just pull it.
He said, give it another couple weeks, it'll be fine. I'm like, I've given it 4 months now.
It's shifted. Is it gonna shift again? Like,
they already tried like doing some shifting and it got a little better, but yeah. So yeah, the positive is that the tooth is healthy.
Yeah.
It's just the nerve is being, so yeah, I'm going to go in for another cleaning, make them actually do the cleaning. And then I think I'm going to,
oh my God. So they still haven't cleaned it.
Nope.
Nope. You went in for a cleaning, like how long ago? And then all this,
4 months ago. My cleaning is scheduled in a couple weeks. So it's because I keep having to go back to them and I can't just like take off work all the time. So anyway,
Dios mío.
My next evaluation with anybody, I don't think I'm going to go back there. I'm going to find someone else.
Yeah. This sounds like, I don't know, like Bluey and Bingo playing dentist, you know, like, we think it's fine.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, when you see a doctor, you have to advocate for yourself.
Oh,
preaching to experienced. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Guys, listen.
Don't just trust a doctor's word.
I get that they have a degree on the wall and a lab coat, and that's intimidating. Okay, but trust your gut. You know your bodies. Yeah. Okay, this isn't the podcast for this, but like, Lena and I have both been through the ringer with doctors that are just like, yeah, it's okay. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
You're burning.
It's normal.
You're on fire right now, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's normal. No, it's not normal.
No, it's not. So listen to your bodies. Ooh, I feel like
listen
to your body. Okay.
We've gotten off on a tangent.
Let's get on to that. I know you guys were left on the cliff, on the edge of your seats last time, in the last episode, the first part of Masuk Wang. If you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to that, because this next part is going to blow your mind, okay?
Oh, no.
We talked about Masuk and how she murdered her mother-in-law. And then at the end of the episode, I was like, hey, gotta tell you about something else.
There's more.
Exactly. Yeah. So before Masuk met and married Don Wang, Masuk was in a relationship with a man named Barton McNeil.
Yes,
you might
I remember that name.
Okay. It's the guy she met when she was married. And she was working exactly at that restaurant. So this is the relationship. They were both married to other people. Remember?
Oh.
Remember? She's cheating on her husband. Despite being in marriages, Masuk and Barton couldn't deny their connection. I mean, it was just too undeniable. So they began this affair. Don't you hate it when you're married and you just have this magnetic connection to someone else and you just, you're like, oh, I just have to cheat on my spouse.
No.
No, me either. Mm-mm. Well, they started this affair and they planned to leave their marriages and finally be together on the up and up. Well, Masuk's husband was like, girl, you crazy anyways? So he was like, okay, you can gladly take her off my hands. Barton's wife was pregnant at the time of this affair with their daughter. And shortly after she gave birth to their daughter, he and Masuk ended up getting an apartment together. So, as most of these stories go, things between the couple, Masuk and Barton, were great for a while. You know, Masuk had her daughter from her first marriage living with them at the apartment. Barton had shared custody of his little girl, Christina. So she was there on and off, and they really became like a little family. Michelle considered Christina to be like a little sister. Now, New Year's Eve came, and Masuk wanted to hit the town. you know Masuk. She's up to her ways. Right. She wanted to go out and have fun, but Barton had just finished a double shift, and he's like, I'm not going nowhere. I'm taking my pants off, and I'm going to sit here in my boxers for the rest of the night.
And I'm going to celebrate on the couch.
Exactly. And she's like, oh, yeah? Like, and it just, you know, she just snapped. She opened a bottle of liquor, and she starts slinging it around. She poured it all over his head. And he told Oxygen that's the first time he had saw that side of her. Like, just this unhinged, rabid behavior. Like, she just lost her mind. And that was, like, the beginning of the end for him. I mean, things were fine. Things were great. And once he saw that person come out, it scared him. So he broke things off, and Masuk moved out of their apartment. She was not having this, okay?
Uh-oh.
She was not gonna be told when the relationship was over.
Mm-hmm.
So she was calling, and asking Barton, please, just meet me. Just meet. I just want to talk about things, you know? Clear the air. And he was like, no, get lost. You're crazy.
Yeah.
He finally relented. Finally. Mm-hmm. And he agreed to meet with her for dinner one night. He's like, fine.
Like, I'll give you your closure, but yeah, I mean, done.
You know how those relationships go. I mean, maybe you've never had a relationship like that, but I have. And it's like, you know how it's going to end. Like,
yeah,
one more time. Okay, I'll see you one more time. We'll talk about it. But it never goes anywhere. Some relationships are just completely broken. Broken that it's like, just throw it away. There's no use.
Just cut it at the...
Exactly. There's no use in trying to repair things. It's just not going to ever be like it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you invest time into somebody, you take that personally. It's like,
absolutely.
If a relationship fails, you're like, I failed. Like, I should have done everything that I could have to make the relationship work. And Barton was a really great guy. I mean, he loved her at one point, and he thought, well, you know, I care about her enough to appease her in this last ditch effort, you know, to just give her some closure, like you said. Now, he had Christina that night that he met her for dinner, who is now 3 years old. But despite Masuk urging him to bring her, he's like, no, I'm not going to bring her for this. That's just not the forum. And so he dropped her off at his ex-wife's house until the dinner was over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the meetup went just like he thought it would, just like it always does. It was unproductive and a waste of time. So he was like, check, please. And he left to go pick up his daughter and went home and put her to bed. And then he went to bed. He was like, God, she'd be crazy. Now, Barton had a one-bedroom apartment. And when Christina stayed with him overnight, he gave her his bed in the bedroom and he slept on the couch. Isn't that sweet? Now, I'd sleep with my daughter, but, you know, maybe he was just being sweet and giving her the whole bed. The next morning, Barton made a frantic phone call to 911.
Uh-oh.
He found his daughter unresponsive in bed.
No.
He was crying out for the operator to please send an ambulance. Somebody get here immediately. He said, I think my daughter's dying. Please hurry.
Oh, my Lord.
She wasn't breathing, and he described her face as gray.
Oh, no.
He couldn't imagine what could have happened. She was just laying in bed like she was sleeping. And when EMS arrived at the home, it was immediately clear to them that they were too late, and there was just nothing that they could do to revive Christina.
Oh, wow.
They initially thought that her death was attributed to natural causes because she had asthma and breathing problems when she was born. So on its face, it just seemed like a really tragic, sudden death. So they removed Christina's sweet little body and they took her to the medical examiner. And Barton was left alone in his apartment. And, you know, we talk about what victims' families must go through in those seemingly like mundane moments. We talked about just a few weeks ago Susan Woods and how her dad was like standing out in the yard in the darkness, like waiting for police to arrive.
Yeah.
And you just don't think about victims' families in those moments, you know, in those moments when they're all alone, you know. Now they've just taken Barton's dead baby girl out of his home and taken her away, and he's just there. I just want to hug him, you know, like in that moment. I just want to go back in time and be there with him so he doesn't have to be alone.
Wow.
What does one do in that moment? Some may collapse there and wake up days later, which is how I would handle it. I would just fall down, and if I died from starvation and lack of water, fine. Like, I would just...
So be it.
Barton, though, was, like, freaking confused. You know, like, he was like, what the heck just happened? And he's like, he remembered checking on her at 10 p.m. because he, like, heard her talking. So he was like, girl, go to bed. She was sitting up in bed and she was like wide awake and happy. And he was like, lay down and go to sleep. It's late. And he went and laid her down, tucked her in, said goodnight, shut the door again. And he's like, I had no idea that that would be the last time that I would see my daughter alive. He was devastated, of course, but he starts pacing around trying to figure out what happened. Like,
yeah, like there has to be an answer,
like,
to this.
Like, is there something in this room? Is there, like, I don't know. My mind would be like, is there something she's allergic to in this room? Is there mold? Or is there, you know, what happened? Where I would be looking at the bedding. Did she accidentally roll over on a pillow? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's like looking around and he goes back in the room where Christina had been sleeping. And he's reminded of something he saw that morning when he initially went to check on her. So there was this fan on the floor, like one of those oscillating fans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that fan was mounted to the window. And he said that he, in his mind, he remembered when he came in to check on her, it was on the floor, and he noticed it, but he didn't think anything of it because he was checking on her. And then, of course, all that, she was dead. And then,
oh, right.
So only now is he just going back in there, seeing it and being reminded of it. And he's like, how did that just come off of the window when it was mounted up there? And so he looks at the window, and now he sees holes in the screen. There was a hole in both corners of the screen, like on the bottom. And so he's like, the heck? So he runs around outside to get a closer look at the screen, because the screen's on the outside of the window, of course. And he sees the rips in the screen on the bottom corners. And he's like, I know that damage was not there last night. Because when he went to pick up Christina from his ex-wife's house, she fell asleep in the car. So he carried her from the car into the apartment. And he has to pass by her window to get inside his apartment. And, you know, he's walking slowly because he was carrying a sleeping child. So that would have been obvious to him that her screen, that screen to his bedroom was ripped. He would have noticed that. And he's thinking in his mind, I definitely would have noticed that. So he ran back inside and he called police immediately. Yeah. Like, this is hours after they had come and gone and taken Christina. And he called and he said, y'all need to get back here. And y'all need to bring forensics. Y'all need to bring a whole team. Bring your cameras. Bring your lift kits. Like, y'all need to get up here because something isn't right.
Right.
And it was a little while later before a detective showed up to his house. And, you know, he's inspecting all the suspicious things that he's pointing out to him. He took photos inside and outside. So they're taking pictures of the screen. They're taking pictures of the fan on the floor, the bed, the this, the that, and the other. And Barton's devastation over losing his daughter, you know, he's still reeling from that. Because this is hours later, guys. Hours later.
Wow.
He's like, doesn't even have time to catch his breath. And he turns from like sorrow to, oh my God, Masuk. Instantly.
Yeah.
Now, after he ended things with Masuk, she was blowing up his phone, like I said, asking to see him, particularly asking to see Christina.
What?
Are you with Christina? When we meet, can you bring her? I want to see her. I miss her. Are you bringing Christina? And she was fixated on seeing Christina and being in her presence. And now all of a sudden, all this is coming back to him. And he knew.
Wow.
This was not a sudden death.
What a crazy person.
Right? Remember when he went in to check on Christina at 10 p.m., he thought he heard her talking.
Yes.
Now he's wondering if Christina, if she saw Masuk out the window. Or if Masuk was inside, even, at that point. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So he told detectives everything, all of this. He said, you need to talk to Masuk. And he begged them to investigate her. He said, in one of the police interviews, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something along the lines of, you need to do your job and investigate my daughter's death as a crime.
Wow.
Now, about this time, the ME got back to them and said, yeah, Christina was murdered. She was suffocated.
Wow.
Suffocated. Which is why she looked like she was just sleeping. There was no injury to her. She had no marks or anything like that.
Oh, my God.
Well, they did bring Masuk in for an interview. And if she didn't look a little younger in this interview, I'd swear her interrogation tape from Linda's disappearance and this interview were the same tape.
Oh.
She sat there doe-eyed, calm, relaxed. She described to investigators that she went to dinner with Barton. They were trying to patch things up, and then she went home and went to sleep. She said her brother called from Korea about 12:30 a.m. You know, it's the time difference, so she said she usually talks to him really late at night. They spoke, and then after she got off the phone, she went to sleep. Nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
Barton was like, no, talk to her again. That's not good enough. Like, talk to her again. Look at her phone records. That's exactly what he said. He was like, investigate. Like, do your job and investigate. So he was adamant. And pretty much as soon as Barton started really kicking up a fuss about this, detectives started looking at him sideways. They're like, thou doth protest too much. Their logic was that he was admittedly the only other person in the apartment that night with her.
See, I had a feeling that was going to backfire on him.
Deductive reasoning says, who else would have done it?
Yeah.
Right? You're saying you were there the whole night. Nobody came in or out. You were sleeping right by the door on the couch. You would have heard someone come in. Well, so...
And then he cut the window screen to make it look like somebody came in.
Yeah. So they arrested Barton. Oh my God. They arrested him.
Okay, but why would he advocate for a investigation if it really was him? Like, why would he put himself in that position?
Why the heck would someone who just murdered their daughter and basically could have gotten away with it because it looked like she had a sudden death, why would he call police immediately after they had left and be like, oh, all this stuff, I'm noticing all this stuff. Like, who would do that? No one would do that.
No. Unless he wanted to frame Miss Sook, but to kill his daughter to do that? If
he
was going to
do that, he would have mentioned that on the 911 call. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So none of this makes sense. Barton chose a bench trial, I think because maybe a judge might be less emotionally swayed by the death of a child over a jury. You know, juries do not take lightly those types of things. And they, you know, I think that he just felt like, perhaps his counsel probably said, you know, you might have a better chance with a judge, you know?
Yeah.
A judge might just look at the facts and the evidence of the case and make a decision. Well, he was convicted of Christina's murder.
Oh my gosh.
And.
Oh my gosh.
I dug. And I could not find any piece of evidence that was presented at trial where I would have said, as a judge or a juror or anybody, oh yeah, that looks bad. Like, oh, that looks bad. Probably the only thing would be that he was the only other person there.
Yeah, I mean, probably why Miss Sook did it. So, to frame him, to make it like he killed his, and it worked.
Absolutely. And there was mention of sexual assault, which I think was in the autopsy. This was a report that was in the Oxygen special that was, they did a behind bars episode on Miss Sook. Mm-hmm. She gave an interview. And in that episode, they talked about Christina's autopsy, and there was mention of perhaps she was sexually assaulted, but there was no semen, nothing to say that she had been like raped by her dad or anything like that.
Wow.
I don't know if they saw some abrasions down there or whatever. I don't know. I just thought I'd mention that just in case if you see or hear anything, please let us know. Like, slide into our email or DMs because I would really like to know what that was all about.
Yeah.
I think that was the mention of that, I think, is probably the only other thing. And then, of course, you think, well, if she was sexually assaulted, her dad was the only other person that was there. Who else would have done that? And who, I mean, he killed her to shut her up, basically.
Wow.
Or so that she wouldn't tell, you know?
Right.
Well, there were child welfare records from when Michelle, Masuk's daughter, was little, which cited child abuse.
Oh, Lord.
Michelle told Oxygen that her mother used to put her hand over her mouth and around her neck and hit her frequently.
Oh, my gosh.
And sit down for this one. Michelle told her family members after Christina's death that during one of those instances of abuse, Masuk covered her mouth and said something to the effect of, "I'll shut you up like I did your little sister."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. In that Oxygen interview, Michelle said that, you know, it was really long time ago and she doesn't remember saying that.
Uh-huh.
But her family remembers her saying that.
Right.
And that's really damning. That is for a child to say that.
Yeah.
Children don't know what's going on.
She's not going to make something up like that on her mom.
And she would never think that her, like, she would never organically come up with, maybe my mom killed her and maybe I should say this to, like, no, she wouldn't do that. That's, oof. Now, I don't know why her family didn't go to authorities at that time to report that. Maybe they did, but there were no reports to that effect.
Hmm.
She also had a pending domestic assault charge for going ham on Barton during one of their fights. So she had this pending assault charge on him, like when she assaulted him when he was at trial. None of that information was allowed at Barton's trial.
Of course.
None of it. None of it. Nothing about her abusing her daughter. Nothing about the assault charge. I couldn't find reports that talked about why the judge ruled that way. But that is so surprising to me. Like,
yeah,
you have someone in Barton's life that was investigated for abusing her own child. And you can't even mention... This is a murder case of a child. Like, yeah. You can't mention that? That's very related. And then the assault charge? You couldn't even, like, show that someone had it out for him?
I don't understand the not allowing things like that in court. I mean, because it just... I mean, I know you don't want to sway them to see... You know, I don't know. I just think it's...
It
shows their character. It shows their motivation, where they come from.
But also, like, Masuk's not on trial here. So we're not talking about her character.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, usually a judge will say, okay, you know, this is one of those things where is it probative or is it prejudicial? Mm-hmm. Do I allow it in or... You know, is this going to taint the opinion of this person, like they're a bad person or they murder? But it wasn't even about him. It was about his defense, which was someone else killed my daughter and we need to bring that in. Like, that was his defense.
Oh my gosh, that's so frustrating.
So his defense had to be, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
His defense couldn't be, someone else did this and I know who it was.
Yeah.
So since his conviction, though, Barton has maintained his innocence every second of every day. And he has fought tooth and nail to uncover the truth to the world. Or I guess you could say at least to the justice system, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then Linda was murdered and he was like, see? See?
Yeah, do y'all see what's going on here?
And he even said in his, I think it was his, he was giving this interview to Oxygen and he mentioned about how he said, I think it was in the sentencing hearing, the murderer is going to kill again. Like, because you're not going after the real person who did this, they're going to do it again. And so when he heard of Linda Tida's murder, he basically was like, wow. So the Exoneration Project and the Illinois Innocence Project have teamed up to represent Barton. And they said they wanted to send Masuk flowers for killing Linda Tida, because that murder really renewed interest and momentum, I would say, in Barton's case. His case of wrongful conviction. And the public has really backed him too. Like, now they're like, oh, we see everything so clearly now. Mm-hmm. Now we just have to get the justice system to see it, right? So, in June of this year, a judge ruled that the child welfare records outlining Masuk's abuse of her own daughter could be considered as new evidence to challenge Barton's murder conviction. So, I read one report where Barton himself claimed that Masuk's DNA was on the sheets where Christina was sleeping. And those were fresh sheets. He said, I had just laundered those sheets and put them on the bed for Christina so she could sleep in a fresh bed. So Masuk's DNA should have not been on that, because she wasn't to be in my apartment.
Exactly.
But I couldn't find anything further on his claim of that. I suspect because that information will come out in the evidentiary hearing. So I really want to hear more about that. Like, I'm so interested. What did they find? Did they find hair, skin cells? Like, what did they find? I shudder at the sexual assault component of it. But I swear to God, I would not put it past Masuk. She is a nasty villainess. Like, she is Satan in a skin suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past her to do something that heinous and, like you said, frame him for it.
Yeah. I feel like that's exactly what she was doing. I mean, if there was trauma in her private area, she had to have done something down there to make it look like he's the one.
Yeah. And by all accounts, Barton's family, friends, I think even his ex-wife had put it somewhere out there that that was just so not
out of
something
character
that he would have ever done. Like, nobody believed. He was a doting father. I mean, he loved her. He, like, I'm just thinking, my husband would probably sleep in the same bed sheets for the rest of his life without them ever being laundered. If I didn't clean our bed sheets, he would not even bat an eyelash. What man is like, oh, I need to wash those sheets and do up the bed, and I'm going to let her have the bed and I'll sleep on the couch. Like, that is just sweet. Oh, and by the way, if he's sexually abusing his daughter, why he be sleeping on the couch?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so many questions there.
I mean, so this just, it just does not, something's not right here. So, lastly, I'll tell you that there is a post-conviction hearing for Barton McNeil set for November 21st, 2023.
So, okay. Just a couple months.
I know. We're so close. And I'll keep an eye out and report back, because, oh, I can't wait to hear what comes out in that hearing. I think this hearing is the evidentiary hearing. So what they'll bring out is the new evidence that they have to...
Are they going to allow cameras? Like, is it going to be broadcasted or...
Probably not. I don't think this is like a super high profile. I mean, it was featured on a TV show, but I don't think it's like Alex Murdoch type of thing.
Well, yeah.
Maybe. I'll keep an eye out.
I mean, because there's lesser cases I say lesser, but like this one.
No, yeah, you're right. I think like it just depends on like the jurisdiction. Yeah. I will keep an eye out and hopefully we'll get some answers. Something that really makes my blood boil is a wrongful conviction.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, that's so irritating.
And from all my research, I really believe he did not kill his daughter. I really, really don't believe it.
Yeah. From what you've told us, I can't imagine that he would have done it. And I mean, you know, the detectives, it was good police work in Linda's case and mm-hmm. Linda's murder. I mean, they just had a few puzzle pieces to put together, but they worked at it and they did it. And I mean, and thank God for that woman that even came forward and said,
oh, I know, there was the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Yes.
That crazy phone call. She called a woman named Linda. Like, if that woman wouldn't have come forward and said.
I know. I think about that, too.
I mean, none of this. Had that lady not come forward with that phone call, even Barton's case.
Exactly.
Wouldn't be going where it's going.
Right. And so much more could have been done in Christina's death investigation. Like, I feel like I don't think they did much investigation with Masuk. I think I read something about Barton's attorneys got a hold of her cell phone records or phone records, and it showed okay. that it wasn't cell phone back in that day, but there was no record of her talking to her brother that night. So, I saw that mentioned somewhere. And so I just feel like they left so many stones unturned and they could have done so much more digging on her. Like the DNA claim that there was DNA on the bed sheets. I don't know much more about that, but like, tell me more. I gotta know about that.
I can't imagine as an investigator, someone being adamant. Like, investigate this. But it's you all along? No, I can't buy into that.
And you know what? I watched the last, I don't want to call it an interrogation, because it really wasn't an interrogation on Barton, but his last interview with police, he was sitting there and he was like, his stance was, you know, he had his legs spread and he's leaning in towards the detectives. Right. Usually it's the detectives leaning in towards someone that they're investigating or they're talking to. The body language was he was reaching out for help. He was begging. And he ended up saying something like he was just so angry and so wound up about the fact that they weren't doing anything. And he was like, I don't understand. Like, why aren't you? And he's like, I hope you're not looking at me. At one point he said that. And so I'm just wondering if that was misinterpreted or if at that point they were like, oh, should we be looking at you?
Wow.
Yeah, it was this case really. His 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
He said, like, I haven't had any time to grieve. Like, I'm so caught up in trying to save my life that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, we're here. We're all here talking about this because my daughter's dead. Like, how messed up is that?
Yeah.
Well, Masuk Wang, or Nolan, whatever she goes by these days, is a friggin' monster. She's a person who, she will just kill somebody because she didn't get her way.
Yeah, I mean, she is like it.
Literally an immature psychopath.
Well, selfish, greedy. I mean, you said it earlier.
She was driven by greed is really all I can say. She could not be content for nothing.
Yeah.
And yes, I do think she is sorry for killing her mother-in-law because she got caught.
Yeah.
I don't think she's actually sorry she did it. I think she's sorry she didn't do a better job of planning it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I see that. You know, and the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. And that's, you know, wanting what other people have. I mean, she had.
And thou shalt not kill. Okay.
She was not living by the Ten Commandments.
She was not. She's marking them off her list is what she's doing.
Yeah.
The one about adultery, too. Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. She's making her way through those commandments.
Yeah.
But, you know, she cried. She says she's sorry for killing her mother-in-law, but she says, I didn't kill Christina. I loved her like my own daughter.
But you told your daughter you were going to shut her up, too, so...
And, you know what? She told us all that she loved Linda like her own mother, so... I think I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
I think I'll just end it on that note.
Mm-hmm.
And you decide. But, I will... Whatever updates come about, I will make sure to share them. I'm latched onto this now. Like, I'm just like Sydney West, I'm latched onto Barton McNeil now. So,
yeah. Well, I can't wait for his trial. And, I mean, hopefully we'll be able to see snippets of it at least. But, yeah.
Well, this is a hearing. So this next thing is a hearing.
Right, right, right.
And I think it's a hearing whether or not he'll get a new trial.
Okay.
Or, I think it's the evidentiary hearing for if there's enough new evidence for a new trial.
Right. You did say that.
But if he gets a new trial, I just need someone with fresh eyes to look at it. Like, get a fresh judge. Sometimes those judges are in that seat for 30 years, and they've seen it, they've done it, they were there when the whole thing went down, and they've got this, you know, mindset, you know, in there.
Yeah. So someone with an unbiased opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully something will happen here. This is so sad. So, so sad. So
it is. Well, thank you for telling their stories. It was very interesting. Rest in peace, Linda, and rest in peace, Christina.
Oh, baby angel. Yes.
Well, this was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it. See you next time, guys.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.